team go through a whole process of looking at these reports. They get sent around to all of the senior managers, and then the accounting officer signs off. We have gone through the report in detail. I apologize for the switching of the... There isn't an error in the amount. There's an error with the layout. And I would need to apologize for that. Because that particular...
Where's the error?
It's because the total amount should have been the 3.9 million.
Should have been?
The total should have been 3.9 million, not the individual salary cost.
That's the next one. space, I think the line table 3.2.
2.2, yes.
Right in the middle, senior management levels 13 to 16.
Oh.
See the second column, the number of positions filled is 97. If you then go to, keep that one, but go to table 5.1 on page 104. 5.1, page 104. We see that the same corresponding category, senior management service permanence, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the top. There's a figure of 68, the employment at the beginning of the period, whereas the previous one was the figure at the end of the period. But if you look at this one at 68 at the beginning of the period, and further on it says there were 8 appointments and 4 terminations. Now, my arithmetic tells me that the total should be 72 in that column at the beginning of the period. And at the end of the period, there are 97. According to the first column. So the 72 and the 97 just don't tell you. I'm not sure what my interpretation is wrong, but according to my calculation, that 97 is either wrong or the 72 is wrong. Maybe we can just get some clarity on that one if I've made myself clear there.
Clarity. The table 5.1
was
the annual turnover. Are you asking clarity
here? You started the year with 68 people in the category. And if it says further, you had 8 appointments and 4 terminations, so you scored 4 people potentially in that year. Which should leave you with 72 people at the end of the year. Is that the correct interpretation of this column, of this table?
That's correct.
How does that correspond then with the previous table 3.2, which says at the end of the period you had 97 people at that
time? I'm not sure whether the annual turnover at the beginning of the period, would have been the figures in table 5.1, whereas the table 3.2 is at the end of the period. So it would be the new posts that were created. And if what I could do is to just give you, provide the committee.
The heading says employment at the beginning period. That's 5.1, page 68. At the beginning of the period. Now, table 3.2 says employment and vacancies by salary at the end of period. Right? So which means at the end of period, you had 97 post by the field. Whereas on page 104, it says at the beginning you had 68, appointed 8 people, or terminated. So it is arithmetic that that will give you 72 at the end of the period. But page 101 says at the end of the period you had 97.
I think the issue would be which years we'd be looking at. Because this is at the period April 2008. And if the committee can allow me so that I can provide the figures.
But this document talks about 1 year. The report that we're looking at is one financial year. The one on page 104 is at the beginning, that is in April 2008. The one on page 101 is at the end of the period, which is March 2009. So when you started, you have 68. But when you finished, according to page 101, it's 97. But page 104 says you started with 68, you appointed 8 and 4 resigned. Surely that does not give you 97. That is study the point.
Yes, Chair, I'm just saying that I would need to check as to what posts they created between the April 2008 to March 2009. Okay, because, and I'd also need to check because they were, for example, I would know that the chief director post for TV was a newly created post where we had splitted off from certain of the other programs because of the priority for this post and was linked to earmarked funds that we were given. So I'm just asking that if I can be given the opportunity of being able to provide what the exam post
is. I think, we don't know what the numbers are. All we're saying is that the numbers that are reflected in the annual report are contradictory. They don't talk to each other. If you had new appointments, then it might as well be that your appointments are not 8. To mean that figure 8 is wrong. Either 8 is wrong, or 97 is wrong, or 68 is wrong. I'm saying one of the figures is wrong. We don't know which one. And one needed to clarify that they know 97 is wrong. This is the correct figure.
Thank you. But also what I'm saying is that what needs to be confirmed, so the 8 may have been correct as at April 2008, where Table 3.2 is at the end of March 2009. So they may have what I'd like to provide you with is information as to what were those extra posts that were created during that period of the year.
I think.
And Chair, I would have it on my computer, but off the cuff, it'll be a bit difficult. I do know about clearly the chief director post for TV is one of those posts that we'll be able to give you the other day after.
Things still continue, but the point that is being made is that you have figures that a person will not hear, not be able to understand, and you will not be able to understand. And when people are there, you will not be able to understand why the issue here is a figure. There should be one figure that is wrong. I don't know which one. That's the point.
And I take that completely, and I think one of the things that we would need to correct also is to have a bit more of an explanation for each of the tables because, this is useful, as you're saying. It has to be standalone and self-explanatory, each of those tables. So we'll take.
Honorable Steve, could we please?
Chairperson, my question is not on tables, but on this topic of under expenditure.
Just a minute.
If there's anything on tables, then I'll keep my right.
Okay, let me allow you.
Please allow this intervention. Chairperson, thank you very much. Firstly, I'd like to know, we understand that the administration is new and there's an acting director general, the former director general, resigned recently. But
the acting DG is new in her position.
As acting DG, yes.
But she will be part of management.
Yes, yes. No. My question is not to her, but if Ms. Rainey informed us that she's acting DDG Cooperative Services, and now they've given her an additional responsibility of acting Chief Financial Officer. Now my question is, for how long has she been acting DDG Corp Services, and now how long acting Chief Financial Officer, and why isn't there a full-time Chief Financial Officer in place? That's my first question. The second question, Chair, relates to the under expenditure. Now all of us watch SABC 1, 2, 3 and all TV channels and listen to the radio, and 9 times out of 10 in a week you must get an article or an item which shows facilities wanting at many of our health institutions. Yet we are told here that money is being underspent. Normal answer from any department, if any member of the public asks, why aren't you doing repairing this road or doing X or Y, or we don't have funds. But here we have a situation where the funds are there, the funds are not being spent. There are two provinces that we heard that are not spending the conditional grant. What we'd like to know is what interventions are in place by the giving department, which is the national department, to ensure that these monies are spent. Because we can't allow the public in those provinces to be shortchanged due to a lack of facilities because some provincial department cannot spend the money adequately. So I'd like to know what interventions are there in place for the South African public to benefit from these monies that have been allocated.
I know the hospitals in the Cape where they have introduced and they have devised, but there are no sufficient buildings, so they are now partitioning the wards. Health service workers there get affected, especially by TB. Yet, we have money for building infrastructure that is not spent. Can we respond to those two questions quickly and then go back to one of the groups? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I started acting for both corporate services and as acting Chief Financial Officer on the 1st of November 2008. When the former CFO retired.
You are acting on both positions.
Yes, it's one post. With the new organogram, we didn't have a CFO at a chief director level. Then it was a DDG post created, which incorporated corporate services. So it's one post. And that was
In the Department of Health, corporate services, the CFO, and department.
Yes. Until recently, Chair, we've decided to split the CFO post from the CDG corporate services post, so that we have a standalone CFO and CDG. We advertised it as such. We've received applications, and we'll be going through the process of appointing DDG level CFO, and then we would look at the DDG corporate services program.
Under expenditure, how are you thinking to move it?
The issue around the under expenditure, we've put in very strict measures around the monitoring of conditional grants. We've got also a very strict process with regards to the business planning and project implementation process for hospital revitalization, just because we have observed the issues around poor spending or lack of compliance with the
That's not going to detail. We'll come back to dollar issue later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Could I respond just on the issue around where there's money for infrastructure that's not being used, and there's lots of other infrastructure that we still need to renovate. I mean, one of the difficulties is that once we've allocated those funds to a particular project, we don't have the ability with that relates to DORA to shift those funds. It's something that we are discussing with the Treasury, that we'll be finding understanding on a particular project, how can that then best be utilized, the projects that we can spend on. But at the moment, we don't have the ability to do that.
And then back to... I'm
worried that this must be left unattended. The question that was alluded to, the question of the vacancy rate. The presenter, the acting DGO, are saying they have applied for funding to the Treasury, and they have not been very much successful in acquiring funds to fill those vacancies. So, seated here, I'm failing to understand that. Because it will be firstly illegal for them, the Treasury, to do that. When you have all the necessary information as to question, therefore, what is it? What is the response as to why they are not funding you to fill those vacancies? Or what is it that you are doing so wrong in order to convince them to give you the necessary funding? I just need to be convinced as for the reasons for that, because what you are saying to me now is not on.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I'm Treasury is here, so they would be able to respond for themselves, but at the time when the new structure was given through to Treasury, the default envelope for the country was quite constrained. And Treasury did indicate to us that the structure was unaffordable and not sustainable, and therefore they would not be able to provide us all the funds for that structure that we had proposed. We've, on a continuous basis, been engaging with Treasury to say we do need the structure, but there is obviously a difference of opinion between ourselves and Treasury. But then also Treasury did have limited resources to spread between the different departments.
The percentage we are talking about here of a vacancy rate you are referring to?
25%.
Vacancy rate of 25% unfunded or cannot be funded as far as Treasury is concerned. Of 25%?
Yes, Honourable Member.
Oh my God. Treasury. I think we need to ask the Treasury to respond to this. Is not one.
Just here from the Congo first and I take the Treasury and move over.
The question what I want to find out is how does the department proceed without having a discussion with Treasury first? And then they come back here and tell us that there was no funding. Because in a layman's term, I'm not an accountant, but I would think before I bring people in to come and do work, I must first find out if I will have the sufficient resources to be able to tell them. It's not by this, as you're doing it in health. It must happen by this. Thank you, Chair.
So, Susan?
Two quick responses. Firstly, we did allocate an additional approximately 25 million for health personnel in the current budget. But each year we do add additional funds. That's partly why they were able to fill an additional 70 to 80 posts in the current year. But I'm also remember that the department has its own discretion to budget. And the department's been underspending by over 300 million rand per year for the past 3 or 4 years. Now a lot of that, almost in some of the previous years, has been over 100 million on goods and services. And the department has had the option to budget differently and to give higher budgets to personnel and less to goods and services. You know, the balance between the goods and services and personnel is approximately almost 2 to 3 times as much goods and services as opposed to personnel. So, you know, I'm not sure the department has they've got that balance. But, yeah, I think also one needs to recognize that we are in a period of fiscal constraints. So there's a lot of attention also being given to wanting to increase frontline healthcare workers, doctors and nurses at the frontline, and one does need to make trade-offs with administration. One also needs to look within that. If one has, for example, 1,370 posts within the national department, are those 1,370 people functioning to optimal effectiveness? Are they being recruited to optimal effectiveness? And so on. So I think while we do continue to increase funding for personnel, there are also genuine constraints. Right.
So, your own prioritization, that should actually alleviate the problem rather than further structure and coordination of the given to mind. Okay. Okay. You're limited funds.
Thanks very much, Chair. We're fully aware that there's tight resource constraints throughout government, The issue that the figures, some of the figures that have been given, I do need to point out that we manage quite a lot of the conditional grants. So a lot of the under expenditure isn't under expenditure in the National Department of Health. But I'm not going to comment on that, Chair, just to say that I have requested that from our HR section, and they're busy in the process, where we are doing a complete work function analysis of all the staff that we have. What's their workload? Does it fit the position as part of this whole process? Because we fully take the point, as I've stated right at the outset. We've got constraints with our budget, and therefore it's necessary for us to reprioritize by looking at the questions that the Treasury has asked. Are they fully functional? Should they be shifted around, redeployed, restructured? We are in that process, Chair.
I wonder what it was that when it went here, why not? Why was it not done last year? Why was it not done the year before? Planning is done now. Why was it not done 3, 4, 5 years ago?
The Chair, as I indicated, but I've been acting since October, and I said I asked for a
I'm just wondering aloud. And the department is always in there. Here to account institutionally, not as an individual. But I want us to go to Pretoria, but let me give the show presentation.
Sometimes you are not sure whether I should be asking questions because this is your part, but thank you for...
I'll give you at the end, but since you have raised your hand, I'll...
Oh, okay, sure. No, I think that I still want the department to go further and explain to us. Because what Cesar is saying to us is that the ball is in their court. They give them the money, and they know what they want to do. And in fact, they go on further and say, the people that we should already have are the doctors and nurses, and I've not heard it all about. What are they doing on that rather than increasing the bigger chunk on top, and yet the functional is not getting. So I still think that they need us to give more explanation on that particular one.
All right. Can we be more pointed on that one?
Chair, we fully endorse the sentiment that we need to have more staff on the front line in the service delivery area, and that's a priority that the minister has also said that we need less administrative staff. And in fact, what we have got in our new strategic plan is exactly that. Just to give you an example of what we're trying to do
I hope you will take it home. See, what in response to question, what is happening is more at the planning stage. Last year, years before last, Whenever, there was no time for what is priority. So, we live here with the understanding that the department is actually addressing fully that problem. And whether that is happening or not, I think we'll be depending more on you in terms of in your monitoring. It may be something that you may need to note down and say, going forward, how do we take it forward to see to it that indeed this is happening. Like, there's no planning, there's no forward planning this. Until you have a report of the aging, that's when, you know, you have to spring onto that. I think that's our area of concern. But anyway, Victoria. No, it's fine. All right. I'm not disputing that a dream function. I'm saying that should have been done 3, 4, 5 years ago. It did not happen. It's fine that you're doing it. Still concerned that it could have been done much earlier. That's the point.
Chair, thank you very much. I've got two further points to make. The first one refers to table 7.4 on page 117, table 7.4 on the top. This is my favorite topic, performance, rewards, cash bonuses, for senior management.
saying that performance rewards, should not be seen as a no-go area.
7.4.
But performance rewards are normally given for exceptional services beyond the requirement in your job description. And in my view, 43.4% of the senior staff receive performance rewards, which is a little bit higher, I would say. Can I get the acting DG's view on that? How do you measure performance to determine that a person justifies performance reward cash flow apart from his normal income?
All FNS members have to sign performance agreements, as you know. I'm sure that will be one of the questions of compliance around that. So against those performance agreements, their supervisors will do a quarterly monitoring of the performance against those targets. And then we go through a process then on an annual basis of having a moderating committee with all chief directors, if it happens to be directors. And we would then look at each one of those assessments and decide as to whether that performance was adequate or not. And then at the end of that then goes through to whoever's acting DG or DG and then gets signed off. So there is a strict process against those performance agreements. The issue as to whether this is quite high, we'd have to go through a process where when we looked at the amount of money that we allowed to give around performance bonuses versus the number that we're going to receive, it was way higher. So what was decided was to then normalize the distribution curve, and that rather than taking people off, we reduced the amount given to all the different individuals, but we still kept within the amount that we allowed to give on the percentage of the personnel salary. So it did have a negative impact because people got much lesser amounts than
previous. Can I refer you to the amount? If you look at the last column, it says the average cost per beneficiary, for example, is 1,655 rand. Now, just to further my suspicion about the reliability of all these tables, that amount is wrong. If you take,
which amount are you?
Take for example for band A. Take for example band A. The total cost of band A is 546,000 rand, and there were 33 beneficiaries. If you do the calculation, it means the average is 16,545, not 1,000. So you can carry on all three of them along. 16,000. I'm getting to the point that I need to say that all three of my calculations are wrong. Then I need clarity also whilst the DC will respond to that on band C. If you look at the total employment, in other words, there are five people in band C, but seven of them were beneficiaries. There's a discrepancy there which is also unclear to me. So there are two things the DC needs to respond to. Discrepancy between the 5 and the 7, and the last column amounts whether my calculations are correct or not. Thank you.
I can only accept that this is one of those tables that you have pointed out that may be incorrect. I'm sorry.
The department has a problem with numbers. Let's see, number of beneficiaries of service, total employment 5, percentage of total employment 140%. All right.
Yeah, we'll come here with one further reference to the table. I'm not necessarily picking on mistakes, but this one was quite funny to me as well. That is table 9.2. Next page. Table
9.3.
Okay. Bearing in mind that the total staff establishment of the department is 1,373, but 1,490 of the employees. there are 117 ghosts walking around somewhere in this policy. Unless my interpretation of the figures you are totally wrong.
Okay.
1490 staff members are given here as having taken leave, while the total establishment at the end of the period was 1373 and 1373 and 1303 or something in the beginning. So there's at least 117 extra people on the books here in this place. It could be just almost as though the employer of choice go and take leave and not work.
make an undertaking to the committee that with regard to the HR section, I take the point around the problem of the vacant commute. We will look at that in order to take
the
point.
Why didn't you look at the problem wrong? Back to the issue. I mean, you're there in a management interview, your weekly or monthly meeting or whatever. Why were these things not seen? Why were they not detected?
So I accept that, Chair. You know, as I'm saying, these are reports that we generate through a particular software and program. But that what's obvious is what we need to do is to also have manual verification of those reports.
The numbers are punished into the software by the customer. Right? A person feeds the software with information. But whatever at that process, the person who do it, the people who supervise it, the people who monitor, the people who manage the process. It passed through all the stages until it came to cover. And we're the ones who don't know that they are mistaken. About things, about people and things we don't know. The only interface we do most of the time is going to go to the clinic or hospital.
I think that's
the point.
Again, I mean, very definitely, whatever reports get generated is data in, data out. So we know that whatever gets punched in. I mean, there's issues like what has been pointed out around the number of leave days will be totally dependent on what HR people punch in with regards to leave. That discrepancy around leave days, you would need to verify whether there's discrepancies with regards to people who have resigned in order to put those numbers in. That information we have not put into the annual report. I'm giving an undertaking that we will have that verification process. These are HR statistics. And obviously that does not get
related. Point of order, Chairperson, it has been sent to the accurate of the members. It has been established here that we are dealing with an inaccurate, wrong report. We are members of parliament. We cannot engage on a wrong report. So I suspect I must second the proposal that let them go back. But before I do, with a strong emphasis, that is what we are saying when we say ministers must appear before proper. That is a classical example. And we are saying, next time they come around with the minister here, we cannot go and engage with these people again if the minister is not here. This is a classical example why we insist that the ministers must appear before SCOPA or any other committee if someone is to do so. Therefore, I want to second the proposal that these people must go back. They don't know what it is they are saying. They are unable to manage the department, and they are wasting our time.
Chairperson, while I understand what other members of SCOPA are saying, I would really please to say, let's complete everything that you wanted to get from them, so that when they go back, they should know what is it that they're supposed to be able to answer. Because if we say they should go without going through the other things,
I'm protecting you to continue, please.
You know, the problem is that if we say they should go back with the figures that they are supposed to go through, it's going to be a problem. When they come back again, they will come back and they will go through our questions again, and we find that they have made mistakes. We send them back again. Now, the thing is that let's go through the questions and see which ones they are able to answer. And then from there, we say go back and rectify whatever they would have been unable to do. And then maybe that will be better. Because if we send them away now, they are going to come back still with the other mistakes, because as the doctor was saying there, they don't read. That I know. They don't read. Because what they have said is that
members of parliament don't read them, but they lot to do. They are only interested in debating, so they don't read this. And they don't know that as we divide the work amongst ourselves, we are really able to see that they didn't do 1, 2, 3. I'm really pleading for me.
But I really would want to say, let me give the 2 comments. I don't want this to become the focus area. Read, very quick. Hoji.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I would want to agree that we, like when you often always emphasize the importance of time, that we don't have much time. And then when we realize that the work that we expected from the department is not accurate, indeed we are making adjustments for ourselves to keep on, you know, continuously going forward on the work that doesn't give us what we want. I would suggest that let's refer them back. But in the work that they need to do, they should go back and study this report of themselves. When they arrive, are coming back to us, Jefferson, they should start by highlighting areas that they have detected that there are errors in this particular report. And they will then take us, you know, up, knowing that they know the content of the report. I must strongly tell Jefferson supporting that. Let them send them back to do their work before they can come to us.
In the third panel, there were instances where we would propose that the previous DG should also appear. Because this report that we are dealing with, the present acting DG looks like does not understand. I was going to throw the book at him, but I'm being a bit merciful. That, you know, and this is a general problem. I think I raised it in the last hearing, even in the hearing before that one, that we have a lot of acting DGs, and they go into the responsibility without the capacity to do the work. Now, it means the whole country is in trouble. Because if you look at most of the departments, that is exactly what is happening. But we support the view that says, strongly so, let them go back.
Sure, thank you. I've already indicated that the department needs to restore my confidence, and they haven't done so to date. I've also requested them, in addition to checking their arithmetic, that they also run a spell check over their report, having noticed a spelling mistake on the content page of this report, which has been signed off. Please just check everything in detail. Chair, I have a follow-up question in relation to the Honourable Pretorius section, which I would like to table.
I did not indicate that we invited the minister. The minister wanted to indicate that unfortunately we are out of the country because they are busy. And and that he remain available to respond to any otherwise if they do the public. But in relation to the proposal, let me say this to them. So far, the area of contradiction in terms of numbers that report is from the HR section, with 2 items that will also deal with figures, which is the Central Revenue as well as Food Service. If at those 2 levels we still find contradiction, I think I would then second that maybe let's stop. But at this stage, it's only 1 item that was dealt with, and it's from 1 section that is.
Sorry, I still haven't asked my question.
Yeah, no. I'll come back to you. I wanted to support this thing so that you know what continues
or what. Yes, Chairperson, on a point of order, I'm questioning the legality of continuing with an inaccurate report as member of parliament. That is my problem.
Chairperson, on the letter that you have just indicated to us, I think in the Department of Health we have a minister and a deputy minister. And in the event the minister is the deputy minister becomes the responsible person, like an acting minister. Now, I am surprised in this case that the minister is away, the deputy minister is around, I saw him this morning. He could have been asked to attend on behalf of the minister. Which this needs to be attended.
I want us to be asking questions to the department and not bearing a meeting ourselves. I am saying in the past we sent away the department because we could not get a clear and satisfactory answer. Here we are dealing with a situation where there is no clarity around figures. There are mistakes found or observed around the figures that are given. And I'm saying, let's take note that these are figures that come from one section of the department, that is the income section. There are two other focus areas that will deal with figures. If we go into those two areas and still find that there are errors, then we can make a generalization. But it cannot be on the basis of the single section of the report. So I'm saying, let us bend the paper and allow the process to flow.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would want to agree with you, but I wanted us to check from them whether had they had an opportunity to sit as the management of the department to look at this report. If the answer is positive, then I'll agree with you. But if they haven't, then it's a waste of time, Chair, I'll tell you this. Chairperson, I'm asking for the echocard there. I just can't continue with you. I'm questioning the legality of continuing with an inaccurate report. If it was one mistake, can we attend for COCAS? I just can't allow it.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I know at the end of the day it's our call as members here, whether we proceed or not. But I think an important element has been raised by Comrade Robert. With the line of questioning that we are putting, I think the department is now aware of the kind of answers that we are expecting. Are they comfortable to be able to provide the answers that we require with the kind of questioning they require? Because if they are not comfortable, then there's no point in us proceeding.
All right, let's do this. Let's just take a 1 minute discussion. The issue is not comfortability. The issue is information that is the annual report. And I think that is the issue. Who will Malan? Who we?
Yeah, I think Honorable Mangena reached a very crucial issue.
Again, my own difficulty is that this report comes from the department. It is not something that passed through the department. They voted. It's their report. No, I would say maybe let's have a no Kumbis, I said on page 1. Then DG has written that he is submitting the report to the minister. We know it is generated by the department as well. And I hear what you and the thing are saying. But that is another thing. But the point I'm making is that through the report that the department has made to Parliament, their product, their own product. Now, how well versed they are with their own product, that is something else. But our issue here is that some members are concerned that so far they are inaccurate with the report. What does that say in terms of our ability to continue with the hearing when we have a report that is inaccurate? So I would want that we have, I'm sure we'll need a minute. I'm sure there should be tea and water outside. In the meantime, help yourself, but we